day, and this is our Morning Connection. How you doing this morning? I am Skip LaCour. Here we are one more day of doing some mental toughness conditioning, MTC, as I like to call it. You and I were working out our minds that create all of those thoughts that get us to take action or prevent us from doing those things that we know aren't productive. We're controlling our thoughts, leading to those actions or preventing us from those actions. And it's this continual thought that we do every single day. Joining me for this Morning Connection podcast, allowing me to poke and prod, ask you questions to stimulate thought as you get one step closer to those goals, those plans, that vision that you have for your life. I'm so happy that you've joined me today. So happy to be here. Thank you for putting your faith and trust in me. Thank you for doing this for yourself. This is one of those things that sets you apart from the masses, you taking that extra time where other people like to set it and forget it, or there's parts of their life that they're not happy with. They dull the pain, so to speak. And they say, I'm not doing that bad. You know, there's people who are worse off, and they get so used to covering, you know, that angst, that pain. I can understand why you would want to push it away. It isn't like I just welcome it all the time. You just learn that's what gets you going. That's what gives you that kick in the ass to use all of this talent, this potential, all these gifts that you have, and most importantly, all this time, this precious time that you have to use it. So it's such a great investment of yourself, taking the time to listen to this. I was with my nephew, as you know, I'm so excited about this. I've been talking about it quite a bit lately, working with my nephew really intensely over these last couple weeks, and I plan to do it for a total of 17 weeks as he prepares to go to college, helping him in the gym. And what I'm especially excited about are the man formation tips to help him earn. You know, he's got to prove it to himself that he is capable to earn it, like we go through the daily disciplines every single day. He needs to prove it to himself that he is capable by stepping out of his comfort zone, little by little, or giant leaps, whatever it takes to prove to himself, yeah, I can do this. You can't just, you know, convince yourself, I'm worthy, I'm great, I'm awesome, I'm a confident man. You can't just, you know, tell you that mantra to yourself over and over again and then expect it to manifest itself in your life. You have to actually do something. Have those references of confidence, of success, of stepping out of your comfort zone, of being fearful, like we all are from time to time. Fear is what stops us all from just totally going for our dreams in life. It's very common to have that fear, to have that, but just intellectually knowing that we have this emotional feeling in our body of fear to not stretch ourselves, to say yes to more opportunities. Right? We have that fear, that resistance, and our reaction is to go for it, right? When we're in our most confident state. And then we think about it too much, and then we start rationalizing. Well, who am I to think that I can do that? Or I'll just wait until I'm more comfortable. You know, timing is everything, and this isn't the right time, right? Or, you know, I'll know it when it's the right time. Or whatever we do to push back those initial feelings that we should step up and become our best self and at least go for it. You know, like I said, you know, you're not going to succeed all the time, but when you look back, did you do everything you could to maximize those talents, those gifts, that potential, that time that you have to either do everything you can to make it happen, die trying, at least figuratively, not literally, right? And so we went to Toastmasters International, talked about this on a previous podcast, this public speaking group. I got so much value out of it when I went about 10 years ago. I went consistently 1 or 2 weeks. I went to a couple of these classes, these clubs, public speaking groups of just regular people from all walks of life who, usually they go to a public restaurant, a public place of business where somebody hosts it. You know, it's not the group size. It really depends on where you are in the world, what city you're in. But, you know, 10 or 12 people. It's nothing that formal. But the structured program that they give to all aspects of public speaking, and it's really cool. And I got another look at it yesterday when he went to his first public speaking, this first Toastmasters class. You know, I kind of was reintroduced to it, and I had a more of an appreciation of the structure, how they get everybody involved, and step by step, they make you aware of your presentation, your public speaking skills. And it's not just for public speaking in front of a group, which, you know, if you're pushing yourself, if you want the best things in life, you are going to be presenting yourself in a group, whether it's two or three people at the office or larger groups. But you're always selling yourself. You're always presenting. And they really break down all the different elements. I really highly recommend it to anyone who loves this. If you love this kind of stuff that I talk about in this Morning Connection podcast, then you will see. Go online in your local city. There's probably 10 or 12 of these Toastmasters International groups meeting at different times all throughout the week, whatever's most convenient for you in your town. So look that up. Really highly recommend it. And so, you know, we went there. I'm pushing actually everything. If you follow this journey, and I call it Ronnie's bigger and bolder journey, and that's because I'm working out with him in the gym. We got videos, training tips, those type of things. He wants to be bigger, become more muscular. And then the part, as you can tell, I'm really excited about it, is the bolder part of building more confidence. A lot of the principles I teach in the Man Formation program, pushing him to stretch beyond what his limits are or his beliefs are about, you know, how he should attack his goals and dreams and interact with people, just challenging those beliefs if they're really indeed serving him. Again, a lot of the principles that I teach in the Man Formation program, and during this journey, you can go to skiplacour.com/journey. I don't even know all the things that I am going to teach him along the way. All of those things, however, I will be sharing with you. And whether you like to work out or not, I am sure there's things that you can learn along this journey. Whether I'm doing through a coaching session, which we started the whole process with, where I really took him through his goals, identifying what he wanted out of the next 17 weeks, what he wanted for his life, getting him connected to all the feelings and emotions that will come with it when he accomplished those things. So it got really clear in his mind why he wants to accomplish all these things. And then identify the challenges that are standing in his way, the ones that he's aware of. And then through our conversation, making him aware maybe some challenges that he's not even quite aware of, that maybe they're limiting him in some ways. He's just not aware of them. He's not conscious of them. So nothing can surprise us. We can just bring them out in the forefront so they're a lot easier to attack. And then creating a plan and having a sense of optimism and energy to do what it takes to reach those goals that he has set for himself in the next 17 weeks. That's powerful all by itself. Go to skiplacour.com/journey. Go to the first entry, right, with that hour-long goal-setting session, right? But throughout the whole entire journey, I don't even know all the different ways I'm going to share a lot of life lessons, a lot of this mental toughness conditioning with Ronnie, and I'm going to pass along to you too. So I know that you're going to find that interesting, especially when it's all said and done as it evolves over these next 17 weeks. So we went to this Toastmasters class, and, you know, I really empathized with him. You know, here is this 20-year-old kid. You know, he was the youngest, but there was a couple people around his age and a lot of older people, a lot of professionals, a lot of people with life experiences. And there's a couple things that I shared with him, and I know that you can identify too. One of the biggest things that I empathized with him, how being in that setting, that it can be intimidating. That are you the type of person to just jump right in right? You just go to this new surrounding and you just go right in there and establish yourself. Okay, I'm going to jump right in. I know this can help me. I know I'm fearful. But whether I do it during this very first session here, right, my very first meeting with these people, do I jump right in? Or the second or the third or the fourth or the fifth? You know, think about it. Be honest with yourself. I know we would like to say, I would be that type of person. I would jump right in on that first session and I would contribute right away. Right? We want to believe that about ourselves. But how true is that really? If you were in that situation, if you went to a brand new situation, you didn't know anybody, everybody was doing this whole structure type of thing, it was something that, you know, took some courage like public speaking, would you be one of those people who just jumped right in from the very first time you met with these people? Be honest with yourself. Or would you do it the second time, the third time, and the fourth time? I mean, this is like a metaphor, right? But there are many situations we do all the time that we can think of, really, what kind of person am I generally, right? See, look, I'm being honest with myself. I don't care what I've accomplished, you know, in the past or how courageous I may seem. I wouldn't be the person, if I'm honest with myself, if I looked over the course of my life, I would not be the person who jumped right in right during the first meeting. I'd probably, you know, sit back, kind of be pissed, thinking I want to be that person to have that much courage to just jump right in a new group where everybody's established. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to just go in there anyway because I know it's going to build so much MTC, so much mental toughness conditioning, so much emotional muscle, right? But the truth of the matter is I'd probably go home wishing that I had and then, you know, applying that pressure on myself, that angst. And I'm not saying I beat myself up. It's just like, man, if I had that to do over again, that would have been such an impact on me. That would have been such a great skill set for me. I should have raised my hand. I could have. I am talented enough. I want to be a mover and a shaker. I should have, right? And I would have put that pressure on myself. So by the second meeting, I would have raised my hand and I would have just jumped right in there. That's where I would put myself. Right, you know, in the Man Formation program, there's this one scenario I talk about. It's really interesting. It's really thought provoking, and I talk about, you know, in where I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, the East Bay Area. There's a tunnel that goes from the East Bay over to the other side, closer to San Francisco. Right, and it's this tunnel, and it's this 4-lane freeway, and then it merges into 2 lanes to go under the tunnel, right? It's Highway 24. And another metaphor for life is I would ask guys, you know, think about it, because there's one of these in your town, somewhere in your town where you live. And, you know, people who travel that same route all the time, there's the 2 lanes on the right, the far right here in the United States. We drive on the right side of the street, right? So it's the far right. Those are the 2 lanes that you can just stay on, and when the tunnel comes up 2 miles, 5 miles away, you don't have to merge back over to the right. And then there's 2 lanes, lane 3 and 4, that are the fast lanes, right, that it'll push you right ahead. Eventually, though, you're going to have to merge into 2 lanes to get through this tunnel. Now, this gets backed up during rush hour, right? And a lot of people are conditioned to drive down this freeway. So you can tell the people who already know what's coming up 5 miles down the road when it gets backed up from time to time, they're already positioned in lane 1 and 2, just being part of the herd and just waiting their turn. And I'm sure that their values are, look, these people that are in lanes 1 and 2 who are just like me, they're doing the right thing. They're waiting here in lanes 1 and 2. I'm going to wait my turn. They got those people in front of me got here first, so I'm going to wait my turn just because that's what I'm supposed to do. That's only common decency. That's what respectful people do. They don't go in lane 3 and 4 and then pass everybody up, go 5 miles, save 10 minutes from their commute, and then merge over at the last moment into 2 lanes to get through the tunnel. That's wrong. That's not proper. That's not common decency. Well, I pose the question. It's not against the law. You know, that's what lanes 3 and 4 are there for. Now, when you get up there and have to merge in, there's people saying, who knows what they think? You know, let's not assume what they think. Some people are just so busy into their day, you know, they don't think anything. But there may be some people, look, I hate those people who drive in lane 3 and 4. Don't they know that, wait, I'm not going to let them in or whatever. But, you know, you can just merge in and get in. So, again, it's just a great metaphor for life. It's a great analogy. Like, where are you? Would you be in lanes 1 and 2 because that's the proper thing to do, whether or not it is legal to drive in lane 3 and 4? And when you're there, would you just not care what people in lane 3 and 4 are doing because you know it's the right thing? Or would you be sitting in lanes 1 and 2 and then cursing all those people who are in lane 3 and 4 because they're doing the wrong thing? You know, think about it. Would you be one of those people who are driving in lane 3 and 4 and say, hey, I'm not doing anything wrong. If these people want to wait in line like sheep, let them do that. I could care less what they think. I don't know what they think. I'll never see them again. They can't yell out of the car in the freeway. I don't care what they think. They want to do that with their life. That's fine with me. I don't live life by those rules. I live by the rules of, you know, the government, the street, the traffic laws, and that's not a law that they've put on me, so I'm not going to put it on myself. If they want to wait in line, they're going to wait in line. And then the other question is, okay, so you're not going to be one of those people who are in lane 1 and 2, but then you have people in lane 3 who will go up past a lot of the people in lane 1 and 2, right? But they don't totally go for it in lane 4. It's like they're kind of half going for it, half being respectful. Maybe that's where you would be, right? Or would you be that person who's, you know, just in lane 4 and you don't care, you're just passing all of them? You know, the thing about it, I pose this question, I've done this for many years to people all over the world. And again, there's scenarios that play out in many different ways that I get you to think about these rules that you have for your life, the way that you believe the world works and shouldn't work. And is that really true? I'm not telling people to change their rules, change their beliefs, to do things wrong or against their principles and values. That's not my job. That's not what I am all about. What I do get you to do is think, are those really indeed rules? Should you have those beliefs? Are those values necessary? Or maybe you think a little past what you've just conditioned yourself to think, is it really serving you? I don't know about you. Through my personal development, through my growth, through constantly asking myself questions like these, as I just want more and more of the best options in life, I've changed my values and I don't feel I've compromised at all. It's just a new and different way of looking at things. So when I talk about that Highway 24 analogy, it's interesting. You know, most people, because they want to believe, oh yeah, I'm that person in lane 4. I would say that the majority of people who I pose this question to, as I love this stuff, I get into a lot of conversations, not just with people I coach, I mean just with everybody when we talk about life. And most people want to believe they're a lane 4 person. You know, I love the people who get the most value out of that story when they say, you know what, you know, that's me. I'm a lane 1 and 2 guy. And I never really thought about how I might be limiting myself unnecessarily, right? That's when you get the value, when you push yourself to think outside your common way of thinking, even though you've held on to it for years. And you can continue to do that, or you can change your values. It's just, that's what this morning connection is all about. That's what MTC is all about, is to just get you to think of what you've been doing for years. Is it really serving you? Is it really the best approach? Just because you're a good person, you're hard worker, you have the best intention, you've got all your goals, that doesn't necessarily mean that you take the best approach. And stretching you, I'm poking and prodding so you think about these things. So which one would you be in that Highway 24 story, analogy, metaphor that I've given you? Well, you know, getting back to the Toastmasters International class that I went with Ronnie yesterday, I could totally empathize with him. I wouldn't be that guy who just jumped in the past. But here's the whole point of what I'm saying. So I pulled Ronnie aside, and I talked to him about that. You know, you got to just jump in there and do this. I know what your natural inclination is. That's why we're doing all of this. That's why I'm pushing you to do things that you wouldn't normally do. And then so you can feel it. It's like jumping in that cold water. You can wait around. You know you're going to get in the pool, right? You know you should get in the pool and enjoy, you know, the party, the pool party with your friends. And you know the water is possibly cold. Maybe some people in there tell you it's cold at the beginning. Maybe you've already been in this pool at another time and you know the water is cold. We all know that. We all have our fears. We all have our reservations. The truth of the matter is you're going to eventually get in the pool. It's just, are you going to wait 10 minutes, a half an hour? It's still going to be cold 10 minutes later, a half an hour later, an hour later. And so what I, through all these things, I want him to think about that and to maybe stretch himself. He's going to get in the pool anyway. Just jump in anyway. And I know many times what our, mine even, the natural feeling and emotion, the conditioned way of thinking that maybe we didn't put a lot of thought in it, into it, is to not jump in right away, to wait till things are quote unquote, you know, whatever, more accustomed, more mentally ready, emotionally ready, whatever. We don't chalk it up to fear, right? We're just being rational, right? To fight through that. In the Manformation program, I have a saying, if you think it, you must do it. So in this analogy, it would be, you know, I know I need to do this. I know I'm eventually going to do it. I know I have some fears. Just acknowledge your fears. And because you thought about it, that I should do this, that's your initial reaction, and then you start wrestling with it, you thought it. If I think it, I must do it. Condition yourself. That's mental toughness conditioning. That's mental toughness conditioning at a whole new level. All right. And the thing about it is you learn that you have all this power. You learn that you shouldn't be so fearful. You know that the more and more you do it, the easier it becomes. And so I certainly empathized with him. And I said, you know, that's what you have to do. And it'll get easier and easier to do it. If I think it, I must do it. Right, when you start rationalizing to yourself and lessening or telling yourself how it isn't so important, that's not, oh, these things don't matter or whatever. It was your initial thought. Why are you even there? Why are you even in these situations? Right? So get used to just jumping in, even though you're fearful. All right? If you think it, you must do it. And I'm telling you, it's so empowering. And whether you fail or succeed or stumble or don't come across the way that you want to, you learn so much. You have to hurry up and do all of these things and prove to yourself, create these references, create this emotional strength, this mental toughness conditioning. And it's by doing a little thing at a time. When you're at the gym and you don't feel like working out, right? And you just go through it anyway. You finish the workout. If I think it, I must do it. Hell, if you're on the recumbent bike, and you're just going, I don't want to do my cardio, but I know I should. And then you get on there and do it, right? And you're pumping away and you're going, my calories burn. It's not where it should be when I'm normally more into this cardio session. Those RPMs are pretty low compared to what I normally do. I should kick it up another notch. Boom! If I think it, I must do it. That's your most powerful person. That's who you really want to be. Before the rationalization starts, you thought it, that you should kick it up, push yourself past that. You don't want to condition. The more and more we do things, right, the better and better we come at it. Now, at the same time, the more and more we step away in fear and in rationalization, the better and better we become at that. So little things, big things, you got to condition yourself. And everything in between, you got to condition yourself to step up to that higher and best version of yourself. Think about how you can apply this all throughout your day. There are millions of things that when I think about my day, that my initial reaction is to step away. It's uncomfortable. It's painful. It's maybe something that I'm not that great at, or I might not get the result, and I don't want to see what that result is right now. But through this, for so many years, of if I think it, I must do it. You just jump in there, and you know. I would say 8 times out of 10, it isn't nearly as bad as you thought it was going to be. And you're proud of yourself for doing it anyway. And the other 2 times, right, it's nothing you didn't expect anyway, and you knew you had to go through it anyway. So it's really a can't-lose situation, but you just build that emotional muscle. You just build that MTC, mental toughness conditioning. So that's your battle cry now. If I think it, I must do it. The other part of what I told him, what I talked about, is when I was asking him, okay, as I was preparing about the if I think it, I must do it message, to get used to jumping in there even when you're uncomfortable. That's how you gain the strength. That's how you put your man formation into overdrive. That's how he's going to build this confidence, by proving to himself that he is confident, that he does take action despite fear. It's when you do that like 500 times, then you look in the mirror and say, I'm a confident person. And the reason why isn't just because I'm repeating a mantra in a mirror, or I should be more confident, because your mind has 500 references, small ones, big ones, and everything in between. If I think it, I must do it. So I was just, you know, talking to him to solicit, you know, why he held back, and, you know, talked about all the reasons that I can certainly identify. If I was back at, you know, his age, I'd probably be thinking the same exact things. I also, if I'm honest with myself, I wouldn't attribute it to fear. I would do everything I could because, look, hell, I'm at this meeting. I'm 20 years old. I'm at this meeting with these adults. I am stepping up. How can I be fearful? Well, there's so many different levels of fear. So I would say if I was honest back then, I would push away the whole fear thing. But again, what's stopping us from really pushing ourselves to even, no matter how well we're doing, that even higher level is some level of fear, no matter how much fear we've conquered in the past. There's always a higher level of fear to conquer. But then he talked about, you know, being new, being young, and those type of things. And I told him a story. It's when I wrote my first book, Thinking Big. It was a bodybuilding motivation book. Motivation, surprise, surprise, right? My lifelong obsession with motivation and mental strategies. And I incorporated that into, it was a bodybuilding goal setting book and a whole bunch of mental strategies, something very passionate about at that time. And it was self-published, something that I did myself back then. A lot of people self-published, but it wasn't really common back then. I remember I invested a lot of money, a lot of time into it, in addition to my job and everything else I was doing. And I remember I was at the printer looking at the first version, and I remember I was so overwhelmed with emotion because, you know, maybe you've in the past or you currently want to write a book and you haven't done it quite yet. You know, the dream of this happening, and, you know, it's almost like regardless of how many people read it or how many of these books you sell, it's just this major accomplishment that you prove to yourself, wow, I've done this. And that's, I was just filled with all this emotion that this book, it's in its, you know, it was a, the first mock-up version, but it was, you know, 90%, 95% done. And I just said, wow, look at what I accomplished. And I kind of got full of myself, not too badly, but I was thinking like, wow. I mean, just writing the book, that's one thing, but you think about it, if you really want to be a mover and a shaker, I mean, you got to market that thing. You got to get that in people's hands, and it's got to be so compelling they actually read it. And even more than that, it changed lives all around the world, which I'm happy to say that book definitely did that for my group. But at that time, I was just kind of happy and content that I had the book even written. And so, but I just for a moment, I got caught up in that short-term gratification, missing the big picture of what that was all about. And then I stopped myself. And I go, why? I didn't, you know, I really felt those emotions of that accomplishment, that segment of the accomplishment. I did soak it up for a little while, but I immediately stopped myself and I said, wait a second. You know, I'm 34 years old. If I am the mover and shaker that I claim to be, if I am going to accomplish all these great things and have an impact on people all over the world and live up to what I believe is my true potential and take advantage of all my gifts. This isn't that big of a deal, right? This is not that big of a deal for a 32-year-old. This is what I should be doing at this age. And probably a whole bunch more than that. You know, right? So I got this reality check because was I really aligning to that person I was striving to be? Now, I know some people might be thinking about this. Geez, why are you being so hard on yourself? You know, soak it up, soak it up. But I'll tell you something. You know, Zig Ziglar used to say that, you know, the tougher you are on yourself now, the easier life becomes. I enjoyed that whole process, don't get me wrong. But I realized if I to be here with you today and all the audio programs and the books that I've written and all the articles that I've written around the world, you know, since that point, if I got too complacent, too happy with myself with that accomplishment, I would have never, probably, I wouldn't have been here with you today sharing this information every single morning on this Morning Connection podcast. So, you know, that's something to think about. And so I said to Ronnie, because he was talking about, well, I'm one of the younger people here, or maybe he said the youngest, or something like that, which wasn't necessarily true. There was a couple of women there that were not too much older than he was. The majority of people were definitely business people, experienced people, older, right? And I said to him, I go, look, you're 20 years old. You have some ambitious goals for yourself. You want to become an ESPN sportscaster. That's what you're going to school for. That's what you're becoming bigger and bolder about. That's what you're doing every single day to build this level of confidence. You have a very ambitious goal. You're going to have to become one out of thousands who are dreaming of that same goal that you have. And so my question to him was, what age do you start stepping up if I think that I must do it? Fight your fear. And no matter what group, no matter what age they're in, that you at least push yourself to know what it feels like to step up. What age does a person who eventually at, I don't know, 32, 34, 36 years old, it seems like the ESPN sportscasters are probably pushing 40 years old. So that's like 20 years, this goal in the making, right? If you look back in their past, I bet they were stepping up at 20 years old. That's the age that you have to show these qualities. And you know the great thing about it, when you become conscious of it, you know, through me poking and prodding and thinking about these things, it's you just get on the journey right away, right here, right now, through this lesson with his Uncle Skip, through Toastmasters, by feeling that angst of maybe not stepping through, sitting in that first one in fear of indecision, oh well, I don't have to, I'll get into it later, whatever. Yeah, that's what life lessons are about. It's just, are you learning? Or are you just rationalizing and doing your same old thing? And yeah, I don't know, maybe by the age of 25 or 27, you start developing the if I think it, I must do it attitude. And then you start at 27 through 40. And where you could have had seven more years with a lesson, this life lesson that I got him to think about and sharing with you right now. You know, if you are going to accomplish great things, you want those to happen in your life within the next 5 years, I don't care what age you are. Right now is the time to step up. Not wait, not when you're most comfortable. Jump in right here, right now. If you think it, I must do it. All right? So let's go through our 10-second daily disciplines. What was that thing that you did yesterday that even impressed you? All right? What was that thing? Yeah, you know, I went to that Toastmasters class, and you know they what they do is these random, what they call them is table topics, where it's somebody's responsibility for that meeting to bring up, you know, a topic, whatever's current, and then they call on people in the group, the 10 or 12 people in the Toastmasters group, and it's to teach you how to think on your feet, to be creative in the moment. It's not a prepared speech. You have to be in the flow about a topic that you didn't know anything about. And that's what this table of topics person who was assigned to it, they came up with. And so not only do you have to say something of value, you have to present it well to the group with all the things that they teach you about presentation, your voice qualities, eye contact, body language, and all the speaking skills that they teach in this Toastmasters, right? So it's quick thinking. It's not prepared. It's being spontaneous with an awesome presentation. So I got called up there. They called me up there. And then, you know, it's cool about this that they award like three categories at every one of these meetings and best table topics. And it's a voting thing. It's like I said, this is a very organized thing and everybody passes in their votes. Well, I won best table topics presenter for that meeting. You know, it wasn't that much of a thrill for me, but you know, here I am pushing all these growth manformation tips on my nephew. I don't know how much it impressed me. I guess I was thankful, but I've been doing this for a long time. I was glad that I could step up and demonstrate that in front of my nephew. So it wasn't so much for me. I was glad for him that, look, you know, maybe I'm pushing all these things upon him, making him step out of his comfort zone. But hey, look, you can just join something and go into a group and, you know, beat out the people who've been doing it a long time, right? I hope that showed him a lesson and made him appreciate all the things that I'm sharing with him. So here I am, boom, I can be called upon in a moment's notice and do something that I am telling him I can do something that's something he's striving to become better at as he reaches his goal, that I'm just not talking a whole bunch of talk. I'm walking the talk too. What was that thing that you did yesterday that really impressed you? What was that moment yesterday, that cool moment when you said life is pretty darn good? All right. What was that moment for you? What's that big goal, dream, achievement, vision, feelings, and emotion? Take 3 seconds right now, that overriding, that gigantic goal, accomplishment, emotion that you have for yourself that's going to take months, if not years of you stepping up in this manner, thinking about life in the manner that we do here in this Morning Connection podcast. If I think it, I must do it, adopting and grabbing that mindset, jumping in to situations you may wait until you're more comfortable doing it now. If I think it, I must do it. You would have to adopt this mental toughness for months, if not years, to accomplish this goal that you have, all right? I want you to visualize that for 3 seconds and get better and better at it every single day. When you can step into it, feel it, and then put it more and more detail, more colors, more emotions, more details into this vision, right? The more real it becomes. And so when you get up every single morning, you proceed in small ways, big ways to get closer and closer. But, you know, really feeling it, really seeing it in your mind is the first step. And just like working out in the gym, just like if you're a runner, conditioning yourself, condition your mind to see that big vision, that big goal that you have. Take 3 seconds right now to do that. Is what you're doing right now the highest and best use of your time? Is what you're doing right now helping you get closer to those results that you really want? No, not what you want, not short term that feels good. I mean that you really, really want, the big result. It's a question I want you to think about all throughout the day as you plan your day, as you review your day, as you're making decisions throughout the day. Is it helping you to that big result that you're taking the time every single day to think about? And then what is that result that you're really after? That's something you need to ask yourself every single day. Definitely don't just skip through that when we go through this Morning Connection podcast or when you're signed up for the Morning Connection newsletter at sltips.com/22, sltips.com/22. I have some mental toughness conditioning, take you 10 seconds, take you through these daily disciplines. It's delivered first thing to your email in the morning. Start your day off, right? Morning Connection newsletter. Don't just skip through that. I want you to ask yourself continually, what is the result that I want? What is the result that I want? You know, I talk about my nephew. If all he does is just, you know, think about, you know, wow, it's going to be so great when I'm 32 years old on ESPN in New York City, all right, delivering the news. Just think about his day. You know, what physical shape he's in, what he eats, does he work out, you know, how he works on his presentation to his friends in a gym, how he shakes people's hands, how he, if I think it, I must do it mentality, right? How much he blows past his fears right now, how much he participates in a Toastmasters class, how he watches SportsCenter, right, from now until the time he's on it. How he even watches it, right? How he watches his body language, how he finds role models and mentors who have achieved what he wants to achieve, and how he just looks at them and observes them. Maybe they have a book out and he just devours their biography or their books or their blogs, or he becomes Instagram or Twitter friends with them. You know, we're going to be meeting with a sportscaster, a local sportscaster that is specializes in working with the San Francisco 49ers. Right. And so my wife, Carrie, was a personal trainer, and she trained this gentleman, Joe Fonzie. And so we're set up a meeting. And Ronnie doesn't know this. He's listening to this Morning Connection podcast. So this is the assignment, is that I'm going to film this for all of you guys to see. And I want Ronnie to ask him three questions, the best three interview questions of the sports interviewer. Right, I want him to really think about. I want him to really think about his presentation. If I think it, I must do it. Work past his fears, and we're going to prepare Joe Fonzie that this is all going to happen. We're not going to just have a camera and stick a microphone in his face. He's already agreed to meet with Ronnie, but we're going to make this a growing experience. Right. So, you know, just think of what from 20 years old until 32 years old, what his life would be filled with if he locked on to this vision of what he wants for his life. That's what I want you to do too. All right, guys, have a great day, and we will connect again tomorrow.